Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. It was 10 years ago today that then-Governor Mitt Romney signed Massachusetts' landmark health care reform into law. The historic bill had ambitious goals.
Every citizen with affordable, comprehensive health insurance. Small businesses able to conveniently buy insurance for their employees at a cost that's competitive with big businesses. Medical transparency, bringing marketplace dynamics to health care, really for the first time. And finally, beginning to rein in healthcare inflation.
Well, that last part, reining in costs, hasn't fully happened yet. Massachusetts insurance costs today are higher than the U.S. average. But on the other hand, the state has the lowest percentage of uninsured residents in the nation. So there's much to be said about Massachusetts healthcare reform 10 years later, including how sharply politicized the idea has become nationwide. In a moment, we're going to hear from two experts on what the law got right and wrong and what remains to be done. But first, let's hear from a different group. Massachusetts residents themselves, including several who did not have insurance before Governor Romney signed the bill into law. WBUR healthcare reporter Martha Biebinger has this report, and it starts in late 2006 as the first subsidized insurance plans came on the market.
Hi, Steve. How are you?
Good, Natalie.
Steve Grossman, the owner of J.E. Pierce Apothecary in Brookline, greets one of his regulars, Madeline Renish.
Good news for a change. This medicine's actually covered by your insurance.
Oh, my God. That one you really need when you need it. So how much is a copay?
$3.
$3. Wow.
So it's a good plan so far.
Renish just saved close to $200 on pills she takes for migraines. Renish has been spending $400 to $500 a month while battling chronic fatigue syndrome.
The chronic fatigue I'd had for over 10 years turned out to be Lyme.
That's an update from the present. Renish discovered she had Lyme disease soon after she enrolled in one of the new sliding scale insurance plans and could finally afford a physical and blood work.
So it was really a lifesaver. I really look at that maybe 12 to 15 years of having lost life because I didn't have any health insurance, but I'm, you know, much, much better. So I'm thrilled that it came along, and I can't imagine life without it anymore.
There are lots of stories of residents who went in for their first checkup in years and were diagnosed with depression, a degenerative eye condition, hepatitis C, or cancer. One study said 320 fewer people died in each of the first 4 years of the law than in years past. But using MassHealth or the new subsidized health plans has not always been easy.
They're forever bouncing you around and back and forth. Then they change you and they say you can't have it anymore at all.
Beth Vance, who has multiple sclerosis, has trouble finding doctors on the South Shore where she lives who will see patients with government-subsidized coverage. Vance says she knows physicians are paid less for her visit than for a patient on Blue Cross or one of the commercial health plans.
I'm lucky to have it at all, believe me, because I wouldn't have any doctors at all without it. And I don't take it for granted by any means.
Customer satisfaction with the law varies a lot. Tracy DeJesus, a single mom in Chelsea, says MassHealth is so good, she can't afford to get off it.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely in a bind.
DeJesus' 7-year-old daughter, Gianni, has diabetes. MassHealth pays for all of Gianni's care, daily insulin, a $7,000 pump that delivers the drug, and visits to Boston Children's Hospital. DeJesus works part-time, keeping her earnings low so her family qualifies for the program. She'd like to move on with her career, but she's done the calculations. DeJesus said if she switched to the commercial insurance offered through several jobs she's looked at, the out-of-pocket expenses for her daughter's diabetes would swamp her budget.
I can't really take that next step without that fear that what if we hit an emergency where we're at the hospital? Now that's medical bills on top of supplies that I can't afford, and that's not something that I'm willing to risk.
It's just kind of a convoluted system right now.
John Kulik is a chiropractor in Worcester. Kulik says he sees patients who own homes or businesses, but who get free or subsidized insurance because they have little income. while he pays $500 a month for a plan with limited benefits.
With the huge deductibles and co-pays, I don't use it unless absolutely necessary. So basically, I see it as a tax.
On the topic of taxes, between 50,000 and 60,000 residents have paid the penalty for failing to have required health insurance in most of the years since the law passed. And some unknown number have refused to pay.
But I will eventually. Eventually, it will catch up with me, I guess.
Nick, who works in the construction industry, declined to give his last name because he's never paid the penalty, even though he hasn't had insurance since it became mandatory. Nick says requiring individuals to buy health insurance is wrong.
If the government wants to give social medicine to poor people, that's one thing. But you shouldn't be forced to buy a product from a private corporation.
Nick is frustrated that the insurance mandate, which began in Massachusetts, is now federal law. But polls show the majority of Massachusetts residents support the law that became a model for the rest of the country.
I mean, there's so much that Massachusetts should be proud of.
Russell Wolf was working as a music producer back in 2006 and making very little money. He qualified for a low-cost plan and something worth gold, peace of mind.
The stress involved in walking through this world without insurance and knowing that, you know, God forbid something terrible happens, it's a huge relief.
Wolf is a producer now in Nashville, Tennessee, and buys insurance on his own through an exchange created by the Affordable Care Act.
Anybody in the arts would be grateful for what we had in Massachusetts, as well as what we now have that's called the Affordable Care Act, and I'm still grateful.
The state's law did become a landmark for the country, one that is cumbersome, messy, leaves patients outside cities scrambling to find doctors, makes insurance free for some and a strain for others, offers peace of mind, and saves lives.
That report from WBUR's Martha Biebinger on this day, the 10th anniversary of Massachusetts' landmark healthcare reform law. Well, let's turn now to a couple of analysts about what's yet to come for healthcare in Massachusetts. And joining us in the studio is Amy Whitcomb-Slemmer. She's the executive director of Healthcare for All, a Boston healthcare advocacy group. Amy Whitcomb-Slemmer, welcome back to the show.
My pleasure, Magna. Thanks for inviting me.
It's great to have you. Also with us is John Hurst. He's the president of the Retailers Association of Massachusetts. They represent some 4,000 retailers across the state. John Hurst, welcome to you.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
It's great to have you both with us. Now, I wanted to start exactly where Martha Biebinger left off, you know, because she described Massachusetts healthcare reform as a law that's cumbersome, messy, can leave patients scrambling to find doctors, but also offers peace of mind and has saved lives. And Amy Whitcomb-Slemmer, I'm wondering, is that a fair analysis of what the law's done?
I think that is accurate, and I would just say happy anniversary, particularly to those 4,000 people who are alive because we passed Chapter 58 10 years ago. I think for those people and for their family and loved ones, it's been an unmitigated success. They are alive and are accessing care because they have coverage that we passed a decade ago. So for those folks, I think there's no question it's been a wonderful success.
John Hurst, what's your view?
Well, look, the basic concept of what we tried to accomplish 10 years ago was very sound, and I still believe 10 years later it still is sound and there are ways to fix it. But you know, some of the promises that we were told 10 years ago, such as we heard the recording of the governor talking about small businesses being able to buy, you know, have kind of the choices and the premiums afforded to big business, that absolutely never happened.
Mm-hmm.
And arguably, small businesses today are paying far more than their fair share. We were told that we were going to be getting rid of free riders and making sure everyone had personal responsibility. Unfortunately, small businesses are not only like employees in any location paying for others through our taxes, they're also unfairly paying for the health insurance of a whole lot of other folks, individuals primarily.
Right. So, John Hurst, hold that thought, because you've got us right to what I think the core issue is about, what the law hasn't done and what we still have yet to achieve. So I want Amy Whitcomb-Slemmer's view on this, because, I mean, John's right. He points out that the governor 10 years ago did promise that small businesses would be able to buy insurance competitively, sort of with the same bargaining power as big businesses in Massachusetts. And John Hurst says that that has not happened.
I do think that the cost growth has been slowed somewhat. So I am also a small business. I represent a small business. I employ 30 employees and offer them health insurance. And it has made a tremendous difference. And it is vitally important that they have access to care and coverage. And it is an expense that we have to pay attention to. I very much appreciate it. I think John and I would both agree that addressing the cost issue is what we're working on now.
Right. Well, so let's put some more numbers on the current cost issue in Massachusetts. Because, listeners, if you go to WBUR.org, we've got a lot of additional information there. Martha Biebinger and the Common Health team have amassed a bunch of essays and data about healthcare reform in Massachusetts over the past 10 years. Again, that's at WBUR.org. And some of the numbers are this. For example, the average cost of a family health insurance plan in Massachusetts back in 2006, was roughly $12,000. In 2014, it jumped to $17,000. Healthcare in 2006 was 47-ish% of the state budget, 52% by 2016. And another one, overall healthcare spending in Massachusetts was almost $6,000 per capita in 2006, jumped to $8,700 per capita in 2016. So we spend a lot on healthcare in this state. And so, John Hurst, let me turn to you. What do those numbers collectively tell you? I mean, I can see there's a couple different ways to read them, but what's your read on that?
Well, you know, I'm a little bit very concerned that we absolutely have a very big focus right now on how big the pie is, the overall size of the pie of healthcare in Massachusetts, and no question, it is growing. Amy was doing great work yesterday looking at the big pharma issue. You know, arguably prescription drugs have just exploded, and you know, part of that may be because we all of a sudden said everybody had to cover prescription drugs. We had to buy health insurance coverage for all drugs out there, and maybe that gave a blank check to big pharma to raise their prices in an uncontrolled manner. Even generics are going through the roof, and that is extremely troubling. But, you know, equally as troubling as how big that pie is and how it's growing is how is that pie being cut up and distributed. And unfortunately, it's being really put on the backs of those that work for small businesses. They're paying far more than that $17,000 that you cited. You know, mm-hmm. That's an overall number. Small businesses, it's even higher than that, and they've even tapped out to the very highest of the deductibles and copays.
Yeah, so
really are tapped out.
Let me get Amy Whitcomb-Slemmer's view on this. Go ahead, Amy.
So, you know, one of the premises that we all founded health reform on was that there was going to be shared responsibility, so that employers were going to continue to offer coverage. Employees were going to agree to buy that coverage. Individuals would be subject to a fee or penalty if we didn't buy coverage, and if it was not affordable, that the government would provide subsidies. It's incredibly important that that balance continue. And one of the things that consumers traded off was, if you are going to require us to buy coverage, that coverage had to be meaningful. And part of meaningful coverage includes access to preventive, primary, and significant care if needed. And it absolutely has to have include prescription drug coverage. And I know that that was a very difficult conversation. Not all buyers, purchasers agreed that prescription drugs should be part of the coverage that you bought. But as consumers, we know that there are people who need access to life-saving therapies. John's quite right. Healthcare for All has stepped up our work on addressing the transparency of prescription drug pricing. One of the things that I thought was so interesting to listen to Governor Romney's speech at the signing of Chapter 58 mm-hmm. was he talked about bringing transparency into the marketplace. And we're really at the beginning of that sort of the transformation in health and in health reform in Massachusetts.
Mm. Now, I understand, of course, that it takes time to turn a big ship, but it, you know, it, on the other hand, it has been 10 years. So, John, I'm still stuck on this. In fact, 10 years ago, when we first passed the law, everyone knew that cost control was going to be phase two. Really, it was getting as many people insured as possible. Phase one, then cost control is phase two. So now here we are in phase two. I'm just wondering, you know, from your perspective at the Retailers Association of Massachusetts, we talked about prescription drugs. I mean, what are the other things that you think we could do here at the state level to get those costs further under control?
Well, first and foremost, we've got to reform the ACA. The ACA has, unfortunately, really tied the hands of Massachusetts and some of the things that we've tried to do here, particularly to help small businesses and in the areas of rating factors and other efforts to, you know, really level the playing field for small businesses and those that work for them. We also really need to get our own political house in order. You know, once we passed something that said everybody must buy health insurance, that somewhat gave a green light to every specialty provider entity out there to try to get their particular new drug or their procedure covered. We've had an incredible 21 new state mandates and or state assessments passed in the last 10 years, two per year. And these have added to the cost of small businesses' premiums. And the interesting thing about it is, under federal law, a lot of these state mandates are not even covered by large self-insured employers, which is 60% of our marketplace. So we keep on saying this new drug and this new procedure, this doctor's procedure, must be covered by health insurance in Massachusetts, but for 60% of the marketplace, it doesn't. Those laws don't even apply.
Let me
to those that work for small businesses.
Yes, you said some interesting things there. I mean, I guess the summation is that we're requiring more things get covered, which then helps propel costs even higher. Amy Whitcomb-Slemmer, you're leaning in here. Go ahead.
I am, because I think John's on the cusp of agreeing that kind of the next phase of health reform is to look at the quality and the cost of the care we receive. So John's right. The reform has existed in the current fee-for-service structure, which provides all sorts of incentives to do more without actually valuing and paying for someone looking at our overall health. Healthcare for All thinks it's incredibly important to begin to look at outcome measures. That happens in all sorts of different parts of industry. We want to be thinking about that in the healthcare industry, so that if I am seeing a provider who helps me be well in one office visit, she is valued in the same way that somebody who requires me to come in for repeat tests and procedures will be as well. If we're paying for keeping me healthy, there's value, and I believe some reform to the way that help the patient experiences healthcare. We think that there's savings to be had in these new delivery models, and we're very excited about that.
Yeah. Amy, let me just ask you one very quick question, because we are fast running down on time here. What about those people who still say that universal care is absolutely the way to go, that any system that includes private insurance is going to be fundamentally flawed?
I appreciate that argument, and I think we are working so hard to fix the system that we currently have. We don't want to undo the gains that we've made. In 10 years, we've made tremendous progress. I know that I'll be able to sit across from you in 5 years saying that Massachusetts has figured out the cost conundrum, and we've offered the solution to the rest of the country, just as we did universal coverage.
And John Hurst, let me get your take on that, because I think in your previous comment, I heard in there maybe perhaps some objection to both the individual and employer mandates that are at the cornerstones of the Massachusetts law.
Well, I just believe that we need to empower the consumer, not the provider, because right now all the power is in the hands of the provider, and that causes medical inflation. If we empower the consumer to make decisions on what kind of coverage they want and give them the tools to go to the low cost, high quality provider, and to financially reward them for doing the right things in their decision making as a consumer, and also for getting healthier, then we've got a situation in which the consumer is in control.
Right.
He will financially benefit.
I'm hearing some common ground there at the end as well. John Hurst, president of the Retailers Association of Massachusetts, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
And Amy Whitcomb-Slemmer, executive director of Healthcare for All, thank you for coming in as well.
No, what a pleasure. Thank you so much for having us.
And by the way, listeners, again, go to radioboston.org. We've got links to all of WBUR's special coverage of 10 years of Massachusetts healthcare reform. Again, that's all linked at radioboston.org. We'll be back in a minute. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.